Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in this platform. Today's Wednesday, August 7th, 2024. I got a lot of information to pack in. Folks, buckle up, get ready. I was going through a lot of information over the last 14, 16 hours, and we are now approaching multiple flashpoints. And I've got to show you, the areas in which we find ourselves at the precipice. And I've said that before, and I mean this because we are at a time right now that we spoke of in previous episodes, in previous shows, but we are at that critical moment in time when any one specific flashpoint could go off. All right. Before I get to that, I want to just introduce or let people know, thank you for your support and thank the people who support us, including some of the sponsors we have, such as, and these are great, I'll tell you what, this is a great product, great people. Trikono.com/Hagman. Have you heard this? Have you heard about this? You know, if you suffer, folks, if you suffer from any type of daily pain, I need you to listen to this message very carefully. What we know about the root cause of pain is changing forever. I'm telling you, it is, and I can speak to this, all right, for a lot of reasons. You know, I used to joke, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself, but alas, here I am. As we age, aches and pains are natural, and all of us are searching for effective ways to relieve pain without side effects and addiction. Folks, let's be frank, all right? We have all seen the horrors of the opioid crisis. And I've, you know, you've seen, you might have been affected personally by that. But there's more than that. This is where a pioneering medical scientist comes in, and his name is Clint Winters. I was introduced to this some time ago, and I was really astounded by the effectiveness of this and also by the information offered. You may have seen Clint Winters, this world-renowned health expert featured in the national media as he's unveiled a natural pain reliever that's taking the world by storm, and I'm talking about Canolidine. It's the 100% drug-free way to get full-body pain relief without dangerous pills. Now, as you see this on your screen and you hear this, understand that Canolidine has become the go-to pain reliever for over a million Americans and hundreds of professional athletes. And man, they know pain. It's so powerful that it was even used extensively by UFC fighters, and those guys know a thing or two about managing pain. Now get this, folks. Clint, he explains how Canolidine is the only compound on earth that optimizes your body's natural painkillers called endorphins at any age. Oh man. When you take this daily, your body's going to fire back to relieving pain like you were in your prime in just days. Now, it's going to take a few days. That's my experience, you know, 5, 6, 7, 3, 4 days. It's going to vary by individual. But let me tell you, I was skeptical. It works. I've tried just about everything. And I've not felt as great as I do now in years. It's like all my daily aches and pains just faded away. My back, my neck, my joints, my muscles, they all feel great and renewed. Best of all, Canolidine does not make me feel the least bit groggy or drugged up. I got to tell you, try this. I feel great. I feel alert and focused for the day ahead. And the best news, Canolidine has no documented side effects after 14 years of extensive testing. Now, hear me when I say this. Canolidine is absolutely the future of pain relief. So if you're dealing with pain, make sure you click on the link below and check out Clint's amazingly informative report on 100% American-made Canolidine. I'm going to tell you, that's important. It better be made here in the U.S. I don't want any, but you know what I mean. The innovation is changing lives by providing safe and powerful relief at one-tenth the cost of pain pills through the pharmacy. I'm telling you, or even over the counter. And here's the best part. When you click on the link below today, you can access the only canola dime product in the world for less than $1 a day. You can't beat that even with a big stick. The private link and discount will stay active until midnight tonight. So, you know, hey, try them on in. Do it now. Try canola dime risk-free for a full 90 days. You ain't got nothing to lose. I'm telling you. You are days away from finally beating pain forever. Try, or go to Trykono. That's T-R-Y. C-O-N-O. That's trykono.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. And make sure you put that slash Hagman there. Or else, you know, Eric the Tech beats me. But trykono.com/Hagman right now and see this for yourself. All right. So a lot of information to get into. You know, as I said, we are approaching multiple flashpoints right now. And I was thinking about this, and I looked up the definition of flashpoint. Now, there's an actual definition, of course, and a figurative definition. And the figurative definition is as follows. A hotspot, a dangerous place of violent political unrest. Now, I checked my dictionary from... I've got multiple dictionaries from across different years, even decades. And that was not in that definition in the 1970s. Sorry, it wasn't. So, you know, it's rather new, but pay attention because we have multiple flashpoints right now, or we are looking at multiple flashpoints right now. So exhibit A in this, let me show you this video. Now, Cori Bush, squad member, this is being covered, her loss as a House member is being covered by the media. Okay, she lost the House race. Cori Bush, squad member, okay, very extremely Marxist, as all squad members are, but especially Marxist. This is her concession speech. And I'm going to give a hat tip to Joni Manorino. He posted this on X, I guess it was last night, early this morning. This runs about 2 minutes, but folks, pay particular attention to the words here. Particular attention to what she is saying. Because, again, this could be exhibit one of numerous exhibits that I'll be offering to you today to create the big picture of events that are coming right, that are going to be right in our faces. And also as well, the pick by Harris of Tampon Tim China Walls, okay, as her running mate. If they successfully get in office by whatever means they employ, this country is over. I mean, over. But check out Cori Bush, who's really never met a Marxist she did not like. This is her, now remember, this is her concession speech. Oh, listen, watch, and pay attention. Here it is.
Pulling me away from my position as Congresswoman. All you did was take some of the strings off. Let's be clear. 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 Let's talk about what it really is.
Tech, are we clear on this? I mean, do you think she wants us to be clear on this? Let's be clear. Oh, all right, go ahead.
Because see, now I don't have to worry about some strings that I have attached. And as much as I love my job, But all they did was radicalize me, and so now they need to be afraid. See, now they about to see this other Corey, this other side. Cause let me say this. I just grew up a whole lot more over the last few weeks. Just grew up a whole different way. And so what they are about to get, they think. So the thing is this. The thing is this. I don't think that anything. There is nothing that happens in my life that happens in vain. So if this happened, it's because it was meant to happen. And let me say, it's because of the work that I need to do. And let me say this. APAC, I'm coming to tear your kingdom down.
So she specifically references AIPAC, okay, this would be the Jewish organization, but it should be very clear, Corey Anika Bush, this American politician, and believe it or not, pastor, one-time pastor, the Black Lives activist, or Black Lives Matter activist, Missouri's first congressional district lost her seat. What she is telling you there is game on. All right. Now I'm not restrained by being in the House of Representatives. Now I'm going to play dirty. Not that she didn't before, but now she's not restrained by any means, manner, or whatever, or any person, or any code of conduct. That is the embodiment, I believe, of not just the current Marxist in office, but that is much of the radical left, and really the entirety of the left is radical. I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but the Democratic Party of JFK, it's gone. Folks, it's gone. And she's telling you, flat out, essentially, it's war. And who is she declaring war against? It's just not AIPAC. No. This is against the white, Christian, middle class, middle America individual. Especially men. But women, too. And children. It's war. Game on. And I'm not saying she speaks for anyone else, but that is the sentiment that we are dealing with. And I've got some other things to show you exactly how this is going to, I believe, how this is going to play out. One in particular is pretty hair-raising. All right. So we have on the left this presumptive ticket of Kamala Mattressback, Heels Up Harris, and Tampon Tim, China Grove Walls. All right. If anyone's offended by that, sorry, but that's the way it is. What's their platform?
Now we have China Grove.
I was thinking about that when I was saying that. I'm telling you, did you know, folks? Tim Walz has been to China 30 plus times. He honeymooned in China. He had taught school in China. This guy has.
He's lived there.
Yes, he has. I'm telling you right now. This guy's all in on China. But the bigger platform, folks, and I'm trying to provide you with information you can give to your family members, friends, neighbors, if they want to hear it, about what that's the Harris-Walz ticket, if it survives the nomination, which it may not, but I suspect it might, just to show you what their intent is. And heaven help us if they are in office, by any way, shape, or form if they get into office after November of this year. About 90 days, less than 90 days now, is the election. This is video two, and folks, all of the links that I'm using, as usual, go to HagmanPI.com, click on the link to today's episode, and open up the description box, and there it is. There are all of the links. It's only at HagmanPI.com. All right, this is cut two. This is, they are coming for our guns. This is not a secret. This is what they plan to do. Check this out. We're getting there. We've got a lot of background on this for today.
And together, when we win in November, we are finally going to pass universal background checks, red flag laws, and an assault weapons ban.
So, an assault weapons ban. Red flag laws.
And an assault weapons ban.
Yeah. And can we even, Eric the Tech, can we even, is there a commonly agreed upon definition of what an assault weapon is? Because to me, every weapon is an assault weapon if it's used in that capacity. I don't know.
So dumb.
Yeah, it really is. All right. So you, man.
A spoon could be an assault weapon.
Yes. Especially, no, never mind.
Spoon me.
I'm telling you, I was going there too. And you know, for those who don't appreciate the humor, lighten up, because I'll tell you what, these are all heavy subjects, and all of these are pretty heavy, and we need to lighten up, have a laugh once in a while, but really focus on what's going on, because what's going on is horrific, and it's about to get much worse. Fetterman recently came out. This is in cut three. Fetterman recently came out, and again, using the operative word by the left of the day, which is what? Do you remember this, folks? Weird.
Hey, you guys.
You know.
He's been quiet.
Well, not lately now. I mean, not within the last couple of days.
He's come out of his cave.
Yeah. You know, Eric, I got to say this. You know, I feel underdressed right now because I'm not wearing a tie. Okay, because I have been just running full steam in different directions for different reasons. The people in the interactive chat know what I'm talking about. The supporters of this platform, you know what I'm talking about. So, but when he shows up to Congress in shorts and in a hoodie, to me, that's not only disrespecting yourself, but you're disrespecting the office and the people who you represent. That's just my thought. Now, clothes don't make the person, but I'll tell you what, there is an expectation. And even when you talk about the moral fabric of our society, if you look at how people dressed in the 50s and the 40s, yeah, I know flappers in the 20s, but okay. But I mean, if you look at how people dressed when they went to the airport back in the, what, 50s or 60s, especially, most men wore shirts and ties. They were dressed up. Women wore dresses, skirts. Now today, hey, I guess in some cases clothing optional.
So, imagine sending him to China.
Hey, you guys. We should translate that into Chinese and play that. But here's Fetterman. This is Pennsylvania Senator, which I am ashamed to admit. Who in the hell would vote for this cretin? Anyway. If you think about this, if you think about Fetterman, he's now globbed on to the term weird. I guess we're going to have to redefine weird. But here's John Fetterman in cut three.
You know, this election is about moving our country forward with Vice President Harris and Governor Walz. A couple of real look, I got to tell you, I work with J.D. Vance. I do. And I'm here to confirm that he is a seriously weird dude.
Now, what is the litmus test for weird when you look at Fetterman wearing a shirt that's actually threadbare on the collar, and you don't have enough respect for your office or for the people who you represent, or even the people who turn out to see you for whatever reason?
Let's say.
Yes.
Fetterman.
Yes.
And Trump's VP pick, Vance.
Yes.
We're just normal people walking through TSA. Uh-huh. Who would they flag?
Vance, of course. Today's TSA, Vance, yeah. Because, as we know, Tulsi Gabbard is on the quiet skies, terrorist.
If they were just normal people, not in office.
Well, again.
They would flag the weirdo. Giant weirdo.
They should. But you're right, though. Eric the Tech, you're right. You would profile, and sadly, I mean, or not sadly, we profile every day of our lives. And it's really profiling to me is a self-preservation maneuver, I believe. When you profile an individual, you do that visually. You assess if there's any risk or threat to you, your family, whoever's accompanying you, and there it is. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Eric the Tech. You're absolutely right. So, okay, getting back to the multiple flashpoints. Now we have a ticket, presumably going to be the nominees on the left of Mattress Back, Heels Up Harris, and Tampon Tim, and China Grove Walls. But what do we know about Walls? And you're hearing this all over the place about Walls, but I don't think we are getting into what's really important with Walls. This is page one in the show notes. And when I say page one, it's a link to an article by Daniel Greenfield. He wrote a new book, Domestic Enemies. It's pretty good. Very good, actually. But writes Greenfield, with the U.S. and China engaged in a heated trade war, the U.S.-China People's Friendship Association, that's USCPFA, scheduled its national convention in Minneapolis. Go figure. That's going to come into play in a number of ways here shortly. But Minneapolis's soybean trade made it China's best leverage against President Trump's tariffs, and the regime was fortunate enough to have one of its own in the governor's house, okay? Walls was the highest-ranking elected official with the broadest ties to China. So, you know, if you are the Communist Party, you are joined at the hip with the CCP, and you would be delighted to have Walls, a governor, on the ticket. You would be delighted. I mean, we've gone from Hunter Biden, the ties between Biden and China, now to an actual VP nominee, perhaps. I'm telling you right now, this is, as the headline states, a Manchurian candidate for China. I'll just go a little deeper into this article here. Now, the U.S.-China People's Friendship Association listed Walls as one of its speakers at the convention alongside notable communist influence operation figures. Earlier, Walls had gone on a foreign trip to Asia along with his lieutenant governor, leaving no one in charge of Minnesota. While the trip was ostensibly undertaken to find alternative trading partners to China, it was actually, and folks, listen to this, actually a propaganda move to stir up opposition to Donald Trump's trade war. And think about the undermining here. Donald Trump was attempting to attempting to make trade with other countries, and especially China, make it so that China is not financially raping us, that we here in the U.S. don't ship out jobs or things to be assembled and sent back to America, but assembled in China and sent back. No. So they were undercutting President Trump's whole foreign policy, trade policy. Now, in September 2019, Walz returned to the U.S., claiming that the state's farmers, quote, remain in desperate need of a U.S. trade deal with China. Well, that was being accomplished by Donald Trump. You see the undercutting here. All right. Now, this Walz, and you can keep that up, but Walz may have been lower on the list of choices for Harris. But this is a hand-in-glove fit, let me tell you, for the Harris platform. There's no substitute for 1.6 billion consumers who are hungry to get our China trade negotiations normalized. This, according to Walz. And in October of 2019, it was time for the USC PFA convention. While that group represents itself as an alliance of ordinary citizens seeking better relations, understand this. It started out as a communist front group. In fact, Revolution magazine wrote that communist members of the Revolutionary Union and later the Revolutionary Communist Party were instrumental in the formation of the earliest local friendship associations back in 1971, and they played a very significant role in the creation of the National Association and in the building of locals across the country. Now, Colin B. Burke is an author. He wrote Red Destinies. He wrote that the USC PFA, like the party's front organizations of the 1930s and 40s, it was advertised as a liberal, non-political organization supporting peace and cultural understanding. But in 1971, the founders had other missions: advance the interests of communist China and world communism. Folks, this is not a socialist ticket, not a Marxist ticket, but a full-blown communist ticket. And the tell here is the selection of Walz as mattress back Harris. I mean, need I say more? The issue is well noted in this article. When Governor Walz showed up at the USC PFA convention, the most obvious sign of the organization's close tie to China's influence, that influence operation, came from Walz's fellow speaker. Now, Natalie Winters, who I've played on here before, Stephen Bannon's War Room, first reported Walz's fellow speaker at the convention was Lee Zilowin. I don't know if that's pronounced correctly or not. I don't know. I don't do Chinese names, and I don't eat Chinese food. So there it is. The president of the Chinese People's Association for Freedom with Foreign Countries, CPAFFC, another acronym that you need to be familiar with, leads a billion-dollar Chinese influence operation flagged by the U.S. State Department. And that takes a lot because they themselves, the U.S. State Department, is a leftist bias. They have a leftist communist bias. But they were flagged for directly and maliciously influencing American politicians. This is not just one governor out of 50. This is not just one politician. No, this now has been elevated to that ticket selection on the left. You want to see some bad things happen? Just wait. If the Harris-Walz ticket, if they are elected, this country is over as a republic, and it will be full-on communist lockdowns. And speaking of lockdowns, it was Walz, when he was when he, well, he is, during the COVID crisis, the plandemic, the scandemic, it was Walls who urged people to act in a communist-like fashion, snitch on your neighbor, lock everything down. Who gives a crap about anything? I am an authoritarian. I'm a tyrant. That was his whole big thing. Folks, do a deep dive on this guy. Do a very deep dive on this man and understand what we face here in the future. As a matter of fact, I could not do any better than this. And you know what, folks? Look, I cite sources here. Some I like, some I don't. But I'm ambivalent about others. You may not like them. You may say, well, you know. But the factual information that is provided, especially in the manner in which it's provided, you can't argue with. Jesse Waters yesterday talks about Tim Walz and really lays it on, well, lays it out for everyone. Now, again, because of the long format of this show, I do like to play the entire clips in context, or for the context. This is actually over 4 minutes. Please bear with me, but please listen to what Jesse Waters is telling us. He has the information. In the show notes, this is cut four, video four. Here it is.
Kamala Harris may not have much foreign policy experience, but her new running mate, Tim Walz, is very, and I mean very well-traveled. He's been to China more than 30 times and doesn't think they're our biggest rival.
I lived in China, and as I said, I've been there about 30 times, but if someone tells you they're an expert on China, they're probably not telling you the truth, because it's a complex country. But it's critically important for us. I don't fall into the category that China necessarily needs to be an adversarial relationship. I totally disagree.
Walz first went to China in 1989 to teach English and fell in love with the country, telling a local paper, "No matter how long I live, I will never be treated that well again. They gave me more gifts than I could bring home." Sounds like Newsom. Remember when he was going around admiring the cranes? In fact, he loved China so much that he and his wife got married on the anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre. And then honeymooned there in the 90s. He later set up a program to take high school kids to China every summer for nearly a decade. And according to local reporting at the time, the Chinese government paid for it. And while they were abroad, Walz told his students to downplay their Americanness. If he becomes vice president, what does that mean for America?
Tim Walz is a guy who wants to ship more and more American manufacturing jobs to China. He said it on camera in the name of the green energy scam. Well, if you care about the environment, and I certainly do, why are you going to ship American manufacturing jobs to the dirtiest economy in the world? Why wouldn't you keep them right here?
In back-to-back elections, Democrats have put guys with deep ties to the Chinese on the ticket. What's that about? Polaris National Security founder and former State Department spokesperson Morgan Ortegas. Okay, 30 times to China, and then you honeymoon there? Morgan, what's that about?
The honeymoon is definitely weird, a word that the governor likes to use. But what's even weirder is the fact that you have the Chinese Communist Party paying for young students, as you mentioned, at least 10 years, maybe 11 years, to visit China. What is the purpose of this indoctrination? The purpose of this, the Chinese Communist Party, Jesse, is very smart. In fact, in February of 2020, then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo gave a speech to governors, Republican and Democrat governors around the country, and warned them and said this is the type of thing that the Chinese Communist Party will try to do. They will try to infiltrate. They will create Confucius centers in school. They will try to do these people-to-people exchanges. And it's all about covering up for the fact that the government is run by a bunch of communists. Communists who have an ongoing genocide. Communists who are spying against the United States. We saw the spy balloon that traversed. And importantly, communists who knowingly and willingly send the precursors of fentanyl to the United States, the number one killer of young people in our country, and the government knows about it.
Is Walz dim? Did he not realize he was being used by the Chinese Communist Party? Or does he just like to travel there?
Yeah. He was certainly either wittingly or unwittingly co-opted, in my opinion, by the government very early on. Again, this is a pattern. They want to take mayors, they want to take local elected officials early in their career to China to sort of whitewash over their many sins and many atrocities. You know, what doesn't make sense to me is, according to the reports I read today, he also taught a class, a Chinese Communist Party approved class, in China in 1989 when Tiananmen Square had happened. So he had to see a lot of the evils of the Chinese government firsthand. I should know, Jesse, his beliefs on China, him wanting to engage economically and diplomatically with China are well out of the mainstream of Republicans and Democrats. President Trump changed the consensus, the foreign policy consensus in Washington, D.C. for both parties. He changed it when he came down the stairs in 2015 and started reminding everybody what a threat China was. And so the governor's views are so far out of the mainstream, he and Kamala Harris have to answer, what is their China policy going to be? Because this is a stark reversal from Trump and Biden.
Well, clearly the FBI has to open up a counterintelligence program on their campaign just to see if they've been compromised by the Chinese and just wiretap everybody involved. Because that's what they do, right? That's what they did to Trump. Yeah. So it's fair to do that to the Chinese and the Democrats. Maybe.
There's a lot there in that clip, which is why I wanted to play out a lot there with respect to the communist infiltration, specifically the CCP infiltration into the U.S. and now onto a major, well, for the first time, maybe not the first time, but close to it, the leftist Democrat, as they call it, it's a Communist Party ticket. And it gets worse because you have in page 3 in the show notes, oh my goodness, Waltz also enforced protection for pedophiles. And I'm very careful to use that word, but he did. He attempted to normalize pedophilia. If we go to image 3 or page 3, again, this is linked in the show notes at HagmanPI.com, it will explain to you how this man, as governor, normalized pedophilia. This hat tip to AF Post. As Minnesota governor, Tim Walz signed a bill making it illegal to discriminate against pedophiles under the state's civil rights law. Now, if you read that, it's almost somewhat, it's too sanitized. What does that mean? That's a protected class. Pedophile, being a pedophile now, you are protected under the state's civil rights law. This is an attempt to normalize having sex with underage children. What's the lowest age? Don't matter. Oh, and let's not forget this tampon Tim, Chinese compromised, CCP loving Walls, also decided to endanger his community by driving 96 miles an hour while under the influence. I believe his alcohol level was, from memory, 0.126, if I'm not mistaken. And subsequently got arrested for doing so. And if you look at your screen, Kamala Harris picks Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as VP. Would be a pity if his mugshot from his DUI arrest went viral. Oh, my apologies. I actually downplayed his level of intoxication. He was going 96 in a 55-mile-hour zone with a blood alcohol level at 0.128. And then he... you can't make this up. He lied to the police about being deaf in an attempt to avoid arrest. There was a little bit of a chase there. You know what I mean? But look at that. There's China Tim. There's his mugshot. Never looked better, right? And we're weird. Oh, my goodness. Video 4 in the show notes. Again, keeping with the theme of the communist infiltration. And I think back to Dinah West talking, her book, American Betrayal, and M. Stanton Evans' book, and all of the books documenting the communist influence right up through today, but specifically back in the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, even under Kennedy, who the Democrats, you know, are so far left of. But now we have it in our faces. But now the left, along with the corporate media, I'm talking about ABC, CBS, CNN. They're coming right out and gaslighting the American people about who Walls is. More importantly, they're saying what Donald Trump is, but they're lying about it. I found this video to be pretty starkly informative and, again, useful for showing those people who think that Harris Walls is a moderate platform and equal rights for all, bringing justice back to America, peaceful America, and lying about it, lying about their political opposition. But it will get worse, as you will see. But check this video out. It's a minute long, and it's a side-by-side comparison between what Walls has said, what the mainstream or corporate media, I shouldn't use the word mainstream, what the corporate media is projecting, Walls is projecting, what the media is amplifying, but the lies about President Trump. Everything from being pro, or everything about pro-life and lies, you know, about reproductive health. And folks, don't fall for the changing definitions. Reproductive health, all that means is pro-infanticide. Understand that. But check this out. It's a minute long. I think it's extremely well done. It's a side-by-side comparison between Walls, what he says, and what he says President Trump represents versus what President Trump represents. Here it is.
And when somebody tells you they believe him. He said he'd ban abortion across this country, and he'll do it, whether or not Congress is there or not.
We have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint. The states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both. And whatever they decide must be the law of the land. In this case, the law of the state.
That includes IVF. And this gets personal for me and my family.
Easier for mothers and families to have babies, not harder. That includes supporting the availability of fertility treatments like IVF in every state in America.
He'll gut Social Security and Medicare.
But do not cut the benefits our seniors worked for and paid for their entire lives. Save Social Security. Don't destroy it. The Democrats are looking to destroy Social Security. We're not going to let them do it. Thank you very much.
You see what is happening here in America? We've known this for pretty much forever, but the gaslighting of American citizens, compliments of the left, compliments of the communists, which they always do, amplified by the corporate media and paid social influencers or influencers on social media. This is what America is being subjected to, this propaganda campaign. And this is one of the multiple flashpoints in America. And when Americans finally realize, when the majority finally realize that they've been deceived by these people, by the left, and by some on the right, it is going to go extremely bad, and you better prepare for it. Before I show you just how bad this is going to go, because I do have some insight now, I want to mention this. You know, we are all suffering, folks, from higher energy prices, are we not? Recent reports show that U.S. electricity bills have set a 10-year record high this past summer. It's so bad that many households admit to keeping their houses at unsafe temperatures, whether that be hot or cold. Why? Because they're trying to lower costs, their electricity costs. Some say they struggle to choose between food and their electricity bill. All of this just because of the power companies. They want to fill their shareholders' pockets and also government policy, the current admin's policy, which is why, for whatever reason, I lower my energy bills with the help of a magical little device, and I absolutely love the cost savings. I like to save money. So go to, folks, don'twastepower.com. Don'twastepower.com. Just remember that link or click on the link in the description box below. You know, thanks to this device, I cut down on my electricity costs. I beat the power companies, and I keep more money in my pocket. That's the bottom line. It's designed to help lower costs by stopping my home and appliances from wasting unnecessary energy, reducing my electricity usage. It supports a consistent and safe flow of electricity throughout my house, and much more, all just by plugging into one of my home's wall outlets. Now, I purchased three for my home. I've got a couple in my office and a couple in the studio. I put one by the circuit box. I put one at the other end of my house and one in the middle. And roughly the same for the studio as well as my office. Now, it works extremely well. The cost savings from the first month alone proved to me that this was one of my best purchases I've ever made. So, folks, please visit don'twastepower.com. That's don'twastepower.com. Or just click on the link in the description box below to get the nation's leading way to lower energy bills, up to 66% off and free express shipping, plus several other bonuses with every order completely for free. Look, you need to provide your home with a smooth electrical current for dramatically lower energy bills. This will fit that bill. Quickly and easily stabilize your home's electrical current and reduce harmful, dirty electricity from your house. Protect and prolong the life of your appliances and electronics, folks. It does all of that and more. Get up to 66% off now. Click on the link in the description box. That's don'twastepower.com. All right. So I laid the groundwork, the framework out for the flashpoints, and I believe the ticket itself, if it survives through the convention, and if because the left does not want to and really can't afford to lose power right now, especially with all of the communist assets already in place in this country, with a standing army to enforce those policies. And that standing army are the military-age males that are being armed. Oh, yes, you heard they're being paid, but are being armed. And this is not just elsewhere globally. This is in America, happening in America as well. I'm going to show you that momentarily. But, you know, you start speaking out against the power structure that is. Even if you are a member of Congress, you're going to feel, look what they did to President Trump. You're going to feel the heat. This is video 5 coming up here. It's about just over a minute. Representative Andy Ogles filed articles of impeachment against Kamala Harris. Mattress back, heels up Harris. Filed articles of impeachment. Here's the story on that. This was found on X or Twitter. And again, it runs about a minute. And this is video number 5. Here it is.
What issue area are you highlighting on the War Room today?
Well, you know, I've got the articles of impeachment. It's important for the posse to engage. And so I submitted those right before we left to go on a break or come back to our districts and work. And so when we get back into September, you know, I'd like to bring those forward in a perfect scenario. Leadership would bring those forward. So those are the articles of impeachment on Kamala Harris. And it just lays out an indictment of her failure at the southern border. She was the border czar. And so I've been very loud and critical on this issue of the Harris-Biden administration. I mean, we've got 12 13, 14-year-old girls being raped across this country by illegals. They're literally being targeted by these illegals because South and Central America are emptying their prisons and sending us their worst of the worst. And so we've got to push back. We've got to secure the border. And we have to deport those who came here illegally. I've got the Send Them Back Act, which would create the largest deportation in American history. I know that's a tough conversation, but that's what we've got to do. This is our country. We get to decide who comes in, and we get to decide who leaves. And so with that, you know, go to andyogles.com. I need the posse to engage. I need the backup. I need the air support, because we can win this fight, but we win it with you.
So understand this. The representative filed articles of impeachment some time ago, actually, before Congress broke. And have you heard about that? Eric the Tech, did you know that actual articles of impeachment were filed? Or I mean, does this come as any news to you? There's talk of it, but now we know. Why? Because of her inaction with the southern border. Just saying. But hey, no good deed goes unpunished with this Garland, Harris, Biden, Obama Department of Justice. Because right after that happened, right after he filed the articles of impeachment, this House member, wouldn't you know, as page 5 illustrates, the FBI executes a search warrant on this Tennessee congressman. This according to News Channel 5. And this was about, some questionable monetary, fiscal, budgetary issues. Was it really? As a matter of fact, the FBI seized his cell phone as part of an investigation into his campaign finances. Where have we heard this before? It seems to be the Department of Justice, the FBI, the modern day American Stasi, or pick your descriptive term, is now going after anyone who's, well, has been, but is really in earnest going after anyone who dares to move against the power structure of the left. And I take you back to the opening video of today. Cori Bush losing her seat. Now says, you know what? I'm unrestrained. I'm unburdened by what has been. Now she's a free agent and she can do what she wants. I'm telling you, this is going to get even uglier. But there it is. You can check out the entire story. Go to HagmanPI.com and open that link. But there it is. So again, this is how they're fighting. We've known that. You could see that with President Trump, with the lawfare. But as President Trump has said, look, they're not just after me, they're after you as well. I'm just in the way. But you know, they don't want him to be in the way anymore. And of course, we're seeing that now. We've seen that with the J6 prisoners, hostages actually. We've seen that by their treatment, by their lack of due process. We've seen this now with anyone who sticks their head up and says, wait, this is wrong. We need to address this. We need to address the border. Well, hey, make sure your door is either open or it's reinforced, because the FBI is going to come a knocking. Actually, not knocking, just busting your door in. You know, why the border? In other words, why do we have an open southern border? You know the answer to that question. But this is more than just here in the U.S. This is a global issue. And what I found very interesting, and I want to thank Jim Ferguson for this, who's been on this show. He's a friend. He's just unbelievable. He delivers a lot of information. But in the UK, in Ireland, weapons are being shipped to illegals. Weapons. I'm talking about the, oh my goodness, the assault weapons that Kamala and China, Tim, they don't want you to have, if you can even define them. But the army, the standing army of illegals, it's okay for them. As a matter of fact, it's more than okay. You know what? We will provide them, in addition to, of course, their food and lodging and money, you know, walking around money. Check this out. Check this video out. This is video 6. This is Jim Ferguson revealing right now that a container, this is just one instance, but if it happened this one time, I can guarantee you it is happening more than once. And I will also go this far, because I have certain reports, people don't want to go on the record, that this is also happening, at least I can document one instance, in the U.S., where weapons are being sent to illegals, the criminal class, the criminal illegal invaders in this country. Watch this. This is cut 6. It's about a little over 2 minutes. Here it is.
Where she was offered a fat chunk of money to put these immigrants in her house, her property. Then a delivery came, a container, and she dared to open that container and saw that that container had guns in it. And the question was, back then, I thought, are these people supporting the British Army? Are they going to be working with them? No, I think this, and this could get taken down. They allowed people to come into this country. There are well above capacity for this country to handle the amount of people. We all know that because we're feeling it, right? Something like 68 million when there should be 32. They bring them over, they let them in, they put them in the hotels, and they give them guns. Then they create a civil war. And who's got the guns? The immigrants. And what happens? A civil war at a level that people haven't seen. If you're shocked by what's occurring right now, prepare yourself with what's to come. Because if what I think is going to happen, and if these immigrants are pissed off by what you guys have done, or what you guys have been programmed dumbly to sheepy follow and do, think about it. The government let them in. They house them. They give them everything for free. You're going to get pissed by that. There's no doubt about it. I get pissed about it. Why am I working? Why am I paying taxes? Why am I having to pay for everything? And they're getting everything for free. Who's not going to get pissed about that? The government let them in. They house them for free. The locals get pissed. They get angry and riot. They abuse Muslims. Because these are what the immigrants are about, largely, aren't they? They're Muslims from the countries that the West have gone in and screwed over. They piss off the immigrants. The immigrants rise. Who's going to give the guns to the immigrants? It's not even going to give. They've given them. There is an army of people within. And those people, when they come up, you and your wheelie bins and your pallets and your distant level of attack is nothing compared to what they can deliver, because they faced it themselves in their own countries at the hands.
Think about that, folks. Hat tip to Jim Ferguson. That's a Muslim woman expressing disdain and offense at what is happening in the UK, in Ireland, in Western Europe. I mean, think about that. Think about what's happening. And understand, the British, they're not armed. For the most part, they're not armed. That's why you see the attacks taking place in the UK. And the broader, the majority of invaders in the UK are Muslim. And if you think, well, you know, everything is fine, really, it's okay, because we're not going to, you know, they're not going to force Islam down our throats. Well, wait a second. Maybe you didn't see this. The chief of police, West Midlands, his news conference, you know, over there where they're having so many riots and where where the British politicians are saying, hey, you know, if you so much as dare push back against these Muslim invaders who are taking over every place, like this amalgamation of our own invasion force, but specifically the majority of Muslims in the UK, if you dare push back against that, we're going to arrest you. That's right. You post your feelings on Facebook, we are going to arrest you. That's what's happening right now in the UK. But again, it's so much worse than people know. Watch this clip. This is cut 7. This is the chief of police, West Midlands in the UK. And listen to how he starts his press conference. Listen to this. Cut 7. Okay, we're getting cut 7.
Salam alaikum. Good morning, everyone. And thank you to the leaders and elders that have afforded me this opportunity to speak to you personally. The reason I'm speaking is to underline my commitment on behalf of the organisation to protect all the communities across the West Midlands. And in particular, I want to underline that message to your good selves and your congregations. And that's very, very acute to me, having seen some of the scenes that have played out elsewhere within the United Kingdom. I know, because we have policed events over a long period of time, that it's a regular occurrence across the West Midlands. However, what we've seen elsewhere has definitely caused concern in communities. And especially, I've listened to our guests at our open day this last weekend, to representatives of your communities who have expressed their concern about what's happening nationally. So, number one, I want to say very clearly that we won't tolerate those types of intimidation or that criminality in any way, shape or form from anyone who lives across the West Midlands. Number two, there is one tier of policing that applies to all of us, and that means that we police without fear or favour. Number three, we don't tolerate racism and discrimination, and in particular, some of the actions that I've seen on the TV screens and you will have seen have appalled me and no doubt have appalled you. And my additional point is to say that you will see more police officers in and around communities. If there are events whereby the extreme right wing, for example, want to protest or turn up at a location very much unexpectedly or sporadically, please make sure that the police alone deal with those situations. We want to deal with those situations directly.
This guy is a British cuck that has surrendered to the black flag of Islam in the UK. Now, if you think for a second, if you think for just 1 minute that that's the UK and, hey, it's not happening here in the US, oh, wait a second. And how does this impact our society? How does this impact our laws? Because don't forget, Brennan converted to Islam. You remember the former CIA director. You remember the capitulation to Islam under George W. Bush. You remember that subsequent to 9/11 and how DHS expunged anything true about the true nature of the Islamic invasion in the U.S. Now it's an amalgamation, like I said, of various forces. But specifically, there is this large Muslim component that has infested itself, not invested, but infested American cities, communities, and they want to take us over. It's what's happening in the U.K., in that regard, is parallel to what's happening in the U.S. In the show notes, page 7, this is a story from Revolver.News. America's first all-Muslim city council. Those words, man, if you think about that, America's first all-Muslim city council. Wait, what? They just got exposed for participating in mass voter fraud. Is this a test run for 2024? And this is an article by a report by Bella Vita writing for Revolver.News. And she writes, you know, it probably won't come as a surprise to anyone when we tell you that America's first all-Muslim city council was just exposed for participating in massive voter fraud. Yeah. After all, if they're voting Democrat, they're probably cheating anyway, right? That seems to be the sad reality in today's America, where our elections, like the rest of our once cherished institutions, like education, medicine, justice, they've been weaponized by the left and turned into a crap show. I'm paraphrasing. But in addition, when a city council is, quote, all Muslim, our media calls this diversity. How in the hell can you get diversity from that? If it was all white, she writes, it's racist. Now you see how this game works. And of course, the cheating is unfolding in Michigan, where the Muslim population is growing, thanks in part to Dearborn, where it feels like you're walking through the streets of Lebanon, not America. Election cheating in Michigan is like a statewide pastime. Thank you, Dana Nessel, Nestle, whatever. However, the Muslim communities have expanded far beyond Dearborn, now taking over historically Polish cities like Hamtramck, where this cheating has taken place. So Hamtramck, Michigan, is the first city in the U.S. to be led by an all-American or all-Muslim, sadly, all-Muslim government in a city that was mostly Polish in its origins. In fact, for the last 100 years, last century, locals say the population has gradually shifted to now be over half Arab population. In its 100th year, the city's leaders reflect that change. And, of course, we have an all-Muslim city council. It was a historic achievement that never happened before for the Arabs and immigrants. Those words are not mine. They're those of Amir Galeb, Hamtramck mayor, speaking to Arab News, of course. Proud of the fact, right? And I think it inspired many of the youth, he says, to go for this field and made them confident in themselves and their abilities and that they should become an inseparable part of the fabric of the society. It's incompatible with American values. It's incompatible with the Constitution as well as Christianity. The mayor was born in Yemen. He leads that city along with the entire Muslim city council. And you ask if it can happen here. It's already happened, and it's going to get worse. Oh, but let me go on. I'm telling you right now, the news is not going to get any better. I want to call your attention in case I don't get to this. CNN is being used or being sued for $1 billion. Oh, surprise, surprise. Why? Because they used a Sharia defense, Sharia law defense to get out of a $1 billion defamation suit, claiming a Navy vet is a criminal for saving women. You remember what happened in Afghanistan, right? How Biden just simply picked up and left everything there, including people who were valuable to the U.S. during our occupation, during our military operations there. He abandoned them. And I'm telling you, Kash Patel, I believe, in Government Gangsters, wrote about the backstory. I think it was Kash Patel. Wrote about the backstory of how they pulled out of Afghanistan to the detriment of those working on behalf of our interests there, men and women who have children. So when we left in the middle of the night in the Saigon moment, well, these people were hostages of the Taliban. So there was a guy, this Navy vet, and you can go to the link in the show notes. This Navy vet who decided to open up this, well, he decided to help the people out, get them out of harm's way. And in this report, this is again from Revolver News by Bella Vita. He assisted the targets of the Taliban to get out of there, much unlike, or unlike, the U.S., unlike Biden, unlike Harris, unlike the left. They were there left to die, left to be killed, murdered, raped. So this military, this naval veteran, Zachary Young, established a company called Nemex Enterprises. And that, what he did and his company did that he formed, was extract those in danger of being raped or murdered or whatever and got them out of Afghanistan. While the American military did nothing, while Biden did nothing. So the left, including and especially Jake Tapper, CNN, said that, he's actually trafficking. He's engaged in human trafficking. This is such a horrendous story. This is absolutely incredibly offensive and totally wrong. Well, again, after Biden decided to pick up sticks and leave Afghanistan and leave those people behind, Jake Tapper went on CNN and said, you know, yeah, the guy's engaged actually in the human trafficking. As a matter of fact, could be human sex trafficking. Well, guess what? This Navy vet, Zachary Young, was not having any of it, sued CNN. And this month, a Florida appellate court affirmed that U.S. Navy veteran Zachary Young and his company, Nemex Enterprises, could seek punitive damages for this story. This is a great read, folks. Again, the link is in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. I would urge you to read this story because this could spell the end of CNN. I'm telling you, it could. Will it? I don't know. But this is how the left is gaslighting you. Whether it's about mattress back Harris, heels up Harris, or China Tim, tampon Tim, China walls. I'm telling you, this is what we're facing. This is the information war. Lastly, we played that clip about the weapons being sent to the illegal invading force in England, in Ireland. Tommy Robinson recently gave an interview, and we have shown the crowds, the throngs of people in England fighting back, pushing back against the policies of the communist Islamic leftists in England. But you're not going to see the real reports on the corporate media, on the legacy media, on the irrelevant media. You're not going to see these stories. You're not going to see people being locked up for being outspoken on Facebook or other social platforms. No. You're not going to see that. They don't want you to see that. Tommy Robinson, again, gave an interview, and he gives a really great, as a matter of fact, this this came to me from Conservative Treehouse. On, what was it, yesterday, Conservative Treehouse submitted or posted an article about Tommy Robinson, The Big Picture and Current Status and Origin of UK Riots. That's the title. The link will be in the description box. And writes, what's written there is, if you want to get a great background on what's happening inside the UK in the lead up to the latest riots, which we've seen, and it's depicted by the, again, the corporate media in a negative fashion, Rebel News interviewed Tommy Robinson. And Robinson provides this great background of how they got there. And it's parallel to how we are, where we are at. But we're not quite at that flashpoint moment yet. But we're getting there. Robinson, he's the head of the English Defense League. And the British government, they call it a nativist, subversive, right-wing network of racist patriots. Boy, that sounds a lot like MAGA, American First. Oh, they're domestic violent extremists, right? That's what we are. We are Nazis, white nationalists, right? That's what we are. So the parallels are striking. I'd like you to listen or watch this. This is from that interview, and we'll play just two clips of it. But I would urge you to watch the entirety of the interview. The two clips we're going to play, there's two cuts, cut A and cut B. Cut A lays the foundation for the information he provides, and it's a good overview of what's happening. And cut B goes a little bit deeper into the current events over there. So please understand, although this is happening in the UK, in England right now, this is coming to America. This will be another flashpoint in the US and in Canada. In fact, it's already happening in Canada, but not to the extent it will. Again, another flashpoint. Global, this time in England. Here's Tommy Robinson from that video. It's video 8. This is cut A. Here it is.
Over the weekend, the world watched on as riots broke out across the United Kingdom. Joining us now is the man being blamed by almost everyone from the Prime Minister down. Tommy Robinson, thanks for joining. Firstly, for people that don't know, you know, we're watching here, we're seeing it on the news, even here in Australia. People around the world are watching it. We don't understand how we've gone to this place where there's literally riots on the streets of the UK, across the UK.
For 30 years, Muslim gangs in every town and city that has a Muslim community have had free reign to rape their way through our community. Like, and that's not me saying it. Government reports in Telford, in Rochdale, in Manchester, in Oldham, in Oxford, in Rotherham, have all said the police were fully aware that these gangs were torturing and kidnapping young children as young as 10 and 11. They were sexually destroying them, raping them, torturing them. And the police knew about it. So there's been anger and resentment growing for years, yeah? Because crimes have not been dealt with that are coming from the Islamic community. There's a two-tier policing system. Now, this two-tier policing become part of British vocabulary since October 7th. It's something I've spoke about since my start of my activism, 20 years, yeah? Because I've seen it, because I've grown up in a town that's Muslim-dominated. So I see the way the police act towards them. They're scared of them. I've seen it. Since October 7th, Hamas and pro-Palestinian supporters have taken to our capital streets, overtaken the streets, called for the gassing of Jews, and they've not been arrested. They've literally stood on the streets and in mosques across this country. The British public have watched it, and none of them have been nicked. Now, if someone says something derogatory on Facebook, they get their door kicked off, yeah, by the police. So everyone's looking, going, hold on a minute. They're supporting prescribed terrorist organisations. That's a 14-year prison sentence. Why are they not being arrested? So if the whole country has watched this failure. The Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, lost her job for coming out and saying there's a two-tier policing system in our capital city. Why are they not enforcing the law against the Islamic extremists? Why are they allowed to do this? Why are Jews having to hide? Why are Jews being persecuted? Why are Jews being told by our police leaders, you look too Jewish, you can't walk the street? Yeah, that's basically what's been happening. So there's been a two-tier policing system. Everyone's watched it. I was arrested in a high-profile case where the police come up to me and said that my presence may have caused alarm and distress. Not the presence of Hamas, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, any other terrorist organisations where we have, in Britain, we have 40,000 terrorists on a watch list. Yeah? Muslim jihadists. They're not a problem, okay? I'm the problem. So I was arrested, I was banned from my capital city for 6 months, and they didn't just arrest me, they pepper sprayed me, violently attacked me in front of the world's media, and then they prosecuted me and said I was in the wrong. Now this will come out, in court, everything they done was unlawful, and I won the case. But everyone's watched all of this, yeah? So as we're watching this, we then see riots spark in Harehill. The police come in and they take children from a house, because in the UK, if children are in danger, we have a system that protects the kids. If they're bad parents, if they're not home, if a child has a fractured skull, which this child did, and it looks like they've been violently attacked or something to do with parenting, then straight away they take the children to protect them. They went in, they took the children from a Romanian family, Romanians and Muslims, that evening set fire to the whole estate, they burned buses, and the images that everyone in Britain watched was the police running away. They didn't come out on horses, didn't come out with dogs, they didn't do anything. They literally left it. They left them on the streets and they run. So that's what people watched. Then, a day after that, some Muslims are arrested in Manchester Airport. They're getting searched. And then they violently beat up. Now, all the footage the public got was the police officer kicking the Muslim in the head when he was on the floor. Now, from that video, again, it was used by the usual suspects to pump a race narrative around the country. Muslims in their thousands went to the police station, attacking the police station. Where were the police? Nowhere to be seen, hiding inside, no dogs, no riot shields, no horses, yeah? Then the police decide to criminally investigate their police officer, and they make a big statement, because the Muslims across the country were basically telling them, we're going to burn this country if you don't let the Muslims who have been arrested go. The police release the criminals, and then they investigate their own police officer. Now, the next day, after they've done this, someone leaks the video of what the Muslim's done before he gets kicked in the head. He violently beats up three police officers from behind. It's George Floyd all over again, yeah? Throwing your own police officer to be criminally charged. If this video wasn't released, that officer would be put in prison. Reason, not because he's done anything wrong, but to keep the violent minority from the Islamic community happy. Now,
that clip shows the context of that police encounter, okay? That's why I wanted it played, but it's also illustrative of the gaslighting that is being done in England by the police, by the government. And again, you've got a majority Muslim population in certain areas where even if you look Jewish, you can't walk there. Did you notice the parallels between what you saw, what you heard in England with the U.S.? Now, the U.S. might have a different flavor, slightly different flavor. Sure, there are Muslims, especially in the pro-Palestine movement against Israel. That's happening. They can go into the Capitol, and they're not charged with insurrection. They're not charged with damaging any property. You can take a statue made of limestone, and you can deface it with graffiti, with spray paint that will not come off. Oh, yeah, sure, it'll be a lot better, but 100 years from now, you'll be able to still tell it was defaced. And they go unpunished. Black Lives Matter, this Marxist communist organization being fueled. So the parallels here in this country are absolutely astounding with what's taking place in the UK. So when you look at what's taking place in England right now, and Tommy Robinson laid it out pretty well, how they got there, at least that few minutes of the interview, and I would encourage you to watch the entire interview. When you see what's happening there, it's just a matter of time. The difference is Americans are armed. Now, have we used those arms yet? No. Will we? I suspect if forced. And consider this. Since the Biden-Harris regime took over in 2021, through the end of fiscal year 2023. Now, that's last September. So fiscal year 2023 ends September 2023. The Border Patrol encountered some 99 people on the terrorist watch list. 99 terrorists, known terrorists. That does not include the gotaways. That doesn't include the people that did the end around that weren't encountered at all. And you know what happened? The Border Patrol released them. Well, actually all but 34. They released terrorists into the interior of the United States. Is this by accident? Hell no, it's not by accident. It's by design. So, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to leave the second cut B. As a matter of fact, watch the entirety of the interview. The link is at HagmanPI.com. But just to kind of encapsulate this, just to kind of summarize the approaching multiple flashpoints that we face globally and domestically. Here in the U.S., well, throughout North America, and over in Western Europe, just to encapsulate or summarize, I should say, all of this, we went from Cori Bush, again, a squad member who lost power, but certainly is not losing steam to fight those American conservatives, white Christian men and women, and declared war on us. Former politician, unburdened by what has been, and what has been, it was her House seat. With the knowledge that, hey, you know what? The Harris, the mattress back, heels up Harris, and tampon Tim China Grove Walls, that ticket. Oh, a match made in heaven, right? That ticket. Well, they're going to go after your guns. They're going to make sure the border stays open. As a matter of fact, they're going to double down on the border. And they're also using the Islamic component of the invasion in Islamic cities like Hamtramck in Michigan and other places, Dearborn. And they're using those as well as BLM. And other Marxist and communist organizations to rig the elections. The infiltration into our Department of Justice, into the FBI, as we've seen, and the CIA, as we've seen with John Brennan, who actually voted for a communist in 1980, Gus Hall, and converted to Islam. He was running things at the CIA under Obama. Folks, this is the groundwork for the flashpoints that we're about to experience. Buckle up, because they're coming. The Harris Walls ticket. People might say, well, he's not going to win. Oh, you know, he's a good old guy. I saw a clip on, I'm not even sure who was being interviewed. I think it was a talk show host out of Minnesota being interviewed on Real America's Voice today. And this talk show host said, hey, people better be very wary of Tim Walz. They better know. They better understand what he represents. Why this Harris Walz ticket is so potentially damaging, dangerous, perilous for America, and why we need President Trump back in office. I'm telling you right now, they don't want to lose power. They will do anything in their power to retain that power, including and especially releasing opening the gates of hell and releasing the demonic forces of Islam, the demonic forces of the communist interests, the communist biases into the United States, and the use of the invaders against the American people. That's what we are up against right now. Folks, please understand how far this has gone. Can we turn it around? Pray, but prepare. God bless.